ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying motherhood, and we're in various passages. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
Favor is something that women are automatically born with for having been a woman. The door gets open for them. People try to defer and try to help and try to assist if somebody's caring too much and things like that. It's a natural thing. Most men don't know much about that. Men who know about that are either leaders in a huge way where somebody's really trying to help them a lot or things like that. But women, by and large, will have a little bit of deference that is automatically given to them. And it's deceitful because what ends up happening is that maybe it can affect a woman to make her think that somehow the world is her oyster. And if she falls in, and we go back to Ecclesiastes 7, we find that sometimes they can become nets and snares because there's a thought that somehow the world revolves around them. You remember, of course, the fable, the princess and the pea. Okay, she couldn't be pleased by anything because even though they gave her all these mattresses, she would feel that one little pebble in the bottom of her mattress. And that would be falling in. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain, meaning it won't last forever. You know, beauty is going to fade. The Bible says the grass withers, the flower fades, and so the glory of man will do also, but the word of the Lord abides forever. Understand that beauty is for a moment, and it can be used in wisdom. You know, if you have something like I had a gun some years ago that I let sit for so long, and I took it out to take it and shoot it. It was a little .22. It was a plinker gun, you know, just going to shoot some cans, and it wouldn't work. It kind of seized up. It got old, you know? It got old. I had to tear it down and refix it. But, you know, beauty is going to fade. But while a woman has that beauty, if she understands the power of that beauty, if she, listen to me, understands the power of that beauty, she can impact her children, her world, and souls for Jesus. Because if she's going about her world, people are going to ask about why it is she conducts herself as she does. Verse 1 says, the words of Lemuel, for God. The prophecy that his mother taught her. What, my son? What, son of my womb? What, the son of my vows? So we see the challenge she sees, and here she is expressing it further. She sees him as her son. So she's taking full responsibility here is what I'm getting at. She's getting it all in her own lap, and she's saying, you know what, I'm going to take as much responsibility as I can, because this is for God. Listen, this is for God. Isn't that cool? It's like, this is for God. What would you do for God right now if he said, what would you do for me? The child is for God. I think we need to tell people that. That child is for God. Now, this woman goes a little further. She says, he's the son of my womb. He's the son of my vows. And so what we see here is she's not only sees that this child is not an accessory, but an agenda, but she also sees he's not an accessory, but he's a necessity. Do you know that we need the children to come up and take the mantle when we go? I don't know how many we have here under 30, but it's not that many. And you know what's funny about that is that we never really saw it like other previous generations saw it. You may have heard that we have 1.8 children in America today among American families. Did you know that the Muslims have 8.1 children in a family? Now, who do you think is going to end up on top of this thing here when you got that kind of numbers going on? We've not taken it seriously. This woman took it seriously. He's the son of my vows. She actually said, God, I'll do whatever I got to do to get this child to Jesus. I'll do whatever I got to do to get this child to the Savior. Because I know it's for you, and I know that's what they need, and I know that if I don't get them to you, I may not save them from the devastation of eternal separation from God in the lake of fire. So she's taking it seriously. It's for the nation. For the nation. It's for the kingdom of God because we need more soul winners. And it's for the sovereign, for the king. So all of these things are true. You remember Luke 10:38-42. That's where it talks about Martha and Mary and Jesus coming and staying at their house for a little while. And Martha's running around making sandwiches and Mary's sitting at Jesus' feet. And Martha says, Lord, don't you know that I'm working? Doesn't it bother you that she's not helping? He said, listen. He said, Mary has chosen the better part, the good part, and it will not be taken away from her. Listen, a mother who is a virtuous woman, a one who sees it as it is somebody who has chosen the better part, the good part. She's sitting at Jesus' feet. She's the one who will say, this is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus, who died, will be satisfied, and earth and heaven will be one. She sees that. She sees that. And when it says, what the son of my vows, she's made vows regarding this. I want you to know that if you were to say, well, this is interesting because it's talking about the boys. If you want to know what Solomon brought to us for the women as the daughters, you know, this is the mother. Well, he also learned some stuff about what was to be told to the girls. The boys needed to be told some things, and that's what's being told in Proverbs 31. But the girls needed to be told some things, too. And the girls were told over and over again, three times, beginning, middle, and end of the Book of Song of Solomon. And it was always, I charge you, daughters of Jerusalem, that you do not stir up nor awaken love until it's time. Interesting words. Do not get involved intimately with any man until it's time. And because she did that, the Shulamite girl became a very powerful influence on her husband, on her world, and in her society, and upon all the other women after her. So why do I take that sidebar? Because I want you to know something. This truth is in a book that's closed to most people. We need to know this so we can turn around and tell our sons and our daughters. Ladies, you can take this and learn and take it and tell your daughters who are teaching their daughters. You can tell your granddaughters, maybe. You can tell your grandsons and your sons. But we need to remember something. God has given us that stewardship. And if you want to know what God has to say to the daughters, you can read Song of Solomon and derive it from there. Now, understand that when we look at verse 2, it says that she's taken it seriously. But it's verse 3 where it turns a corner from the challenge and it shows us the charge. What is it that she taught him? What is it that she said? First thing she said is, give not your strength unto women, nor thy ways to them that destroy kings. Now, notice a woman's telling him that. Now, I pondered this a lot as I was going over these verses and passages. Women know women better than men do. And it's funny because I preach on these days, whether it's Valentine's Day or Mother's Day, and I feel real tentative because I don't want to hurt the heart of the most tender among us. But I did say at the outset, and I believe this, we've got the good gals here. There are a lot of not so good gals in the world. And that's part of the reason for why these things are as they are today, because we're leaving our children to themselves. But a woman told a boy, be careful of women. I find it to be very fascinating. I've heard at times where a woman would say, you mean you just threw your whole life away for a pretty face? And that's how women look at it. Men don't look at it that way. All men see is a pretty face. they fall in. It's like they just want that smile. They'll do whatever they can do for that smile. And it's part of what is problematic in our generations. In fact, if you want something from a biblical perspective to qualify what I've just said, Romans 1, 24 and 25 says, after they've turned to idolatry from the true God, they get into immorality. That's the first step. And why? Because immorality has to do with men and women behaving poorly. The Bible says after they got into idolatry, it says God gave them up also to uncleanness. This is 24 and 25 of Romans 1. Through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now that's just talking about immorality. That's just talking about immorality. That's talking about living together. That's talking about shacking up. That's talking about behaving in a bad way in high school, in the back seat of a car. It's talking about all of the stuff that happens in our generation. You say, what is the reason for these things? I sought a reason for these things. And it's part of the process of corruption that is in the world through lust. The Bible says, after dishonoring their bodies between themselves, they changed the truth of God into the lie, and they worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. What happened is they fell in. Now, what happens in the next few verses is it says, therefore God gave them up further from immorality to indecency. Now you got homosexuality. Now, some of the strongest proponents of homosexuality are, you know, those women who love to have the guy in the crowd, you know, sort of like these TV shows, Queer Eye for Straight Guy, things like that. You got the girls and they're just laughing with the guy like he's a girl among them. You know, if a girl would stand up to a guy and say, why are you acting like that? You're a caricature of everything feminine. Why are you acting like that? The guy would feel a little bit more embarrassed about it. Something about a girl saying, that's growth that makes a guy say, well, wait a minute, I probably shouldn't do that. But because the daughters of Eve, in many cases, have actually allowed themselves to fall into the immorality, they have nothing to say to other people who are involved in it. And then when they go to indecency, it gets really bad. So I say to you, what is the charge he gave? He gave the charge to say, give not your strength unto women. Interestingly enough, that word strength has the idea of to twist and whirl and dance. It has the idea of force and of armies and of influence. Now, the idea of twisting, whirling, and dancing, you know, kids are born with this buoyancy. And it gets killed in them. It gets squashed in them when they do evil, when they do sin. That's why we have to quickly give them a stronger than conscience kind of a wake-up call with a spanking and with some discipline. Because if we don't, they get over it. And when they get over it, they go into a darker place. And she says, don't give your strength to women, and don't give your ways to that which destroyeth kings. Interestingly enough, the word destroy means to blot out, to wipe something. It means greasy. It has the idea of greasy. It has the idea of marrowy. You say, what does that mean? Well, it means the idea of to remove the marrow from the bones, to take away strength. It destroys the strength because it takes the marrow from the bones and it renders one delicate. Those are words that kind of come out of this word. He says, that which destroys. I'll give you a couple of examples. You know, Manasseh was the man who reigned for 65 years, and he did abominations. And the Bible says, because Manasseh had done these abominations and has caused Judah also to sin, behold, God says, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah that whoever heareth it, both his ears will tingle. He says, I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. Wiping it clean. God says, I'm going to wipe it out because of the abominations. Now, why did Manasseh do all those abominations? Hezekiah showed the Babylonians all of his kingdom and all of his wealth. Isaiah said, because you did that, Babylon is going to get all your stuff. 8-year-old Manasseh hears this and he's listened, and what he's thought is if God's mean, I'm going to go to the other gods. When Manasseh was carried away to Babylon himself, he repented, God restored him, but it was too late. The abominations had flooded throughout the entire nation of Judah. Now you say, well, what does that have to do with this? I want you to understand, Manasseh's mind was messed up. His mind was messed up. And some of our kids' minds are messed up. And it's up to us to get them back off the ledge, to teach them the Word of God, to bring them to a place where they understand there's a God who loves them, a Savior who died for them. On that tree, He rose from the dead to make it possible for them to have eternal bliss and glory and blessing. His mind was messed up. Do you want to know what's true? In this verse, it's implicated. Verse 3 says that destroyeth kings. Kings! Kings! Did you know? The Bible says in Revelation 1:6 and chapter 5 as well, I think it's verse 12, it says He's made us kings and priests unto our God. If you were raising a king for God, what would that look like? You're preparing them to be a king. You're preparing them to be a king. And so dads and moms, we have children and grandchildren. We have people we are influencing. They're going to rule and reign with Jesus. We have stewardship of the raising up of a king. And I want you to see that that's what Manasseh really didn't get. He got, hey, you're going to Babylon. God has pronounced this. And he didn't really ever get the clarity until he's hanging in a dungeon.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.